Boker Tov. We continue, and today in Yotz Hashem will complete the second parak. We continue our analysis of the series of Mishnayot presented on Thursday morning, and we are on Daf Yod Zayin Amud Aleph near the top of the Amud. Shalosh Taniyot Rishonot, Hashem Yishmor Mitanin V'lo Mashlimin. So the Mishnah Vav and Zayin described the responsibilities of the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beit Av towards the various fasts, the first, second, and final set of fasts. We saw Machlok between the Chacham and Rabbi Yeshua as to the extent of their responsibility. Tana Rabbanan, L'nei ma amru Anshei Mishmar mutar lishtot yain b'lelot v'lo b'yamim. So in the next Mishnah Zayin, it mentions something not related to the fasts, but to the general prohibition of drinking wine in connection with the Avodah, as it relates to the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beit Av. It said that the Anshei Mishmar may not drink during any of the days that they are on, but may during the night. The Anshei Beit Av may not during that day or night. So, Ne'amru Anshei Mishmar mutar lishtot yain b'lelot v'lo b'yamim, shema tichvar avodah l'Anshei Beit Av yavo v'yisayu lahem. Because perhaps the Anshei Beit Av of that day will need some extra help. In the middle of the day, they'll be called to help, and therefore they may not drink any wine. So why are the Anshei Beit Av not allowed to drink even at night? Because even if at night, they're still involved in the Avodah. The night after their day, they're still involved in burning up the fats and the limbs, etc. of the Korbanot. Now, Mikan Amru, so now we have a halachic and a practical application of this. Almost all Rishonim agree, at least in theory, applies Bizman Hazeh. So any Kohen who knows what Mishmeret and what Beit Av he belongs to and knows that his membership is assured, is confirmed, asur lishtot yain kol oto hayom, that day that Beit Av is on the Avodah, theoretically, he's not allowed to drink wine all day. And it's unclear whether the issue here is a concern that Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash and that day he's going to be involved, or that some sort of a zecher associated with his avodah, and perhaps so that in the future Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash he will be accustomed to that. B'makir mishmar tovin, makir mishmar Beit Av shelo, if he knows what mishmeret he's part of, but not which Beit Av he belongs to, yodesh b'tev otav kuin sham, but he knows that his Beit Av is in the system. Then asur lishtot yain kol ota shabbat. He's not allowed to drink wine all that week because he may be on any of those days. Eino makir mishmarto mishmeret Beit Av shelo, deyash b'tev otav kuin sham, if he does not know which mishmeret he belongs to, and certainly not which Beit Av, but he knows that he really is a bona fide member, then asur lishtot yain kol hashana. Theoretically, he can't drink wine at all because any day could be his day. Rebbe Omer ani asur lishtot yain leolam. Rebbe concurs and says, really, he cannot drink wine at all. But however, since we are now discussing, enacting this over 100 years after the Churban, by this time the Kohanim are accustomed to drinking wine, so therefore we can't really do it. Amar Abaye, keman shatu ha'idna kohani chamra. So following whose opinion do Kohanim drink wine in our day? The answer is Karebi. We're following Rebbe. Which makes it sound as if the Rabbanan, and we'll see this a little bit later on, disagreed with Rebbe and said that even in practice, the Kohanim cannot drink wine, bizman hazeh. Tov, Anshei Mishmar v'Anshei Ma'amad asurim l'saper ulechabes v'chameshin mutarim l'chvor HaShabbat. In the next Mishnah, we said that the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Ma'amad, the Israelim who are on that week, are not allowed to take haircuts or do laundry during their week, except for on Thursday. My Tama, what's the reason? Because the concern is that if they know that they can take haircuts and do laundry, etc., during the week, then they will come into the to their mishmeret or into their mamad looking disgusting, knowing that during this week I can't do malacha anyways, and on Monday or Tuesday I'll get a haircut. Same reasoning that we apply to Chol HaMoed. Tana Rabbanan. We have a tangent here about the frequency of haircuts for different leaders in the community. Melech mistaper b'chol yom. King should get a haircut every day. Kohen gadol me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. The Kohen gadol every Friday. Kohen hedyot achat l'shloshim yom. The Kohen hedyot should not go more than 30 days without a haircut. We'll see why. Melech mistaper b'chol yom. My Tama, what's the reason that the king should get a haircut every day? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Kra Melech Biyofyo Tachzena Inecha. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, that you will gaze at the king in his glory, in his beauty. Kohen Gadol Erev Shabbat Erev Shabbat, so the Kohen Gadol has to get a haircut every Erev Shabbat. Why? My Tama Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Koil Mishmot Midchadshot. Since on every Friday the new Mishmeret is coming in, they should see the Kohen Gadol looking his finest. Kohen Ediot Achadosh Toshim Yom. I'm an Alan. What's that? Why is a regular Kohen not allowed to go more than 30 days without a haircut? Atya Para Para Minazir. We learn a Gzeirah Shavah, the word Para, from the context of the Nazir. K'tiv Hacha, in the famous passage of Yechezkel, in Perek Mem Dalet, describing the behavior and the comportment of the Kohanim, it says, V'rosham lo yigaleichu, they shall not shave their heads, U'fera lo yishaleichu, they shall not let their hair grow out too much. U'chtiv hatam, K'roshia gadel pera sa'rosho, the Nazir is a gadel pera. So he lets his hair grow in such a way that the Kohanim are not allowed to. Malan, Shloshim of Kan Shloshim, and we know, as we're going to find out in a minute, that a Nazir lets his hair grow for at least 30 days. Therefore, that's what a Kohen Hediot is not allowed to do. Nazir Gufim and Alan, how do we know that a Nazir is 30 days? Rav Matna Stam Nazirut Shloshim Yom, because the default of Nazirut, unless specified to a different time period, is Shloshim Yom. And by the way, a Nazir Pchutam Shloshim Yom, you can't specify for less than 30 days. Menal, and how do we know Makra Yihia? As you see in Pasuk 2 on the page, says, Pasuk 3, Kadosh Yihia. And Yihia, Begematria Athlatin Have. The Gematria of Yihia is 30. Now, I'm going to Papa Labaye. Vidoma Hachikam Rahman Alo Libru Klal. So Papa says to Abaye, how do you know that it means a Kohen Hediot, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Pasuk number 2 on the page, means that a Kohen Hediot is not allowed to have his hair go very long? Maybe he's not allowed to let it grow at all. Maybe every day he has to get a haircut. Amarlei, so by answer, Yihave katav lo yishalechu pera, if it had said in an inverse to what it says, lo yishalechu pera, they should not let pera grow out, kedekamar, that would be as you said. Hashtag to the pera lo yishalechu means pera lehave, they can have pera, which means a little bit of hair. Shaluchi urlo yishalechu, it just can't grow out too much, and therefore 30 days is the measure. So, ihachi afilo aidna nami. So if that's the case, then how come today Kohanim can go more than 30 days without a haircut? So the answer that Rabbi gave was, Dumi Rishtuya Yayin, the two prohibitions are similar, the prohibition of drinking wine and doing avodah in that state, and of having long hair. Mashtuya Yayin is man biyahud asur. And if you take a look at Pasuk number 4, the Pasuk given to Aharon right after the death of Nadav and Avihu, that you may not drink wine when you come in, so it's only when there's a mikdash to come into where the prohibition applies, meaning that the discussion we had earlier about Kohanim Bizman Hazeh is all based on the notion that Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash, not because there's an inherent prohibition of Kohanim drinking wine. So therefore, the same thing, there's no prohibition against Kohanim letting their hair grow if it's not associated with the Avodah. Shlo Bizman Biyashari, Afach Anami, same thing. The passage that we just saw, which seems to indicate that there is really an inherent prohibition for Kohanim to drink on the day that they would be theoretically in the Mikdash, except that we sort of that it's impractical. So we call the Rabbanan Asri, and the implication is that the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe would prohibit. So therefore, why do we allow the Kohanim to have their hair grow, but we don't allow them to drink according to Rabbanan? So my time, so here the notion is the Mikdash will be rebuilt in a snap, and the Kohanim have to be ready to do the Avodah. Veleika, because after all, they're drunk. So Achav Shodim Asapravayo, that's why it's different, because in the case of a haircut, Kohen can on the spot get a haircut and go in and do the Avodah. So after the Gani Pur Tavayo, same thing, if Kohanim are drunk, a Kohen can take a short nap and go in. A walk of a meal, about a mile, Roman mile, or any sort of a nap, is enough to get rid of any wine that you have. So Kohanim could very quickly fix the problem. If you've done a Beit HaMikdash, take a quick nap, take a quick walk, and that'd be fine. So the answer is La Miit Marala Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua Lo Shanu Ela B'Shishatashi Urvit. This fix of taking a short nap or a short walk only works if you had a revit of wine. If you have more than a revit, then sleep actually induces more grogginess, and the walk confuses you even more, which means that the solution will only work if you had exactly revit. On the other hand, the haircut, you could just take, no matter how long the hair is, one quick haircut will take care of the problem on the spot. So answer number one for why we distinguish between drinking and letting the hair grow is that if Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash on the spot and the Kohen is drunk, there may not be a quick solution for him, where there always is a quick solution if he let his hair grow. Answer number two is Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Shtuya Yayin de Machali Avoda. You have sort of deceptively let us think that the prohibition against drinking wine, the prohibition against going into do the Avodah drunk, and the prohibition against having the hair grow long are parallel. They're not. Ravashi says, Shtuya Yayin de Machali Avoda. If a Kohen does Avoda while drunk, the Avoda is Mechulelet. Not just he's violated things, but the Avoda is invalid, profaned. So Gazra Rabbanan. So therefore the Rabbanan made a gzera and said, even Bizman Hazeh, you can't drink wine if it's on your day, etc. Purei Rosh to lo machali avoda, but if you do the avoda with your hair grown long, it does not invalidate the avoda. You've done a wrong thing, but the avoda is still valid. Therefore lo Gazra Rabbanan. And therefore there's no gzera Bizman Hazeh to have your hair grow, because even if you did the avoda that way, the avoda would still be valid. So we have a challenge. Metave Elohim Shehein B'mita, the following are Kohanim, who if they do their Avodah in this particular state, there's a Chiyuv Mitah, Shtuyayayin, Ufuroi Rosh. There you go. You see that doing Avodah drunk, or doing Avodah while your hair is too long, is a Chiyuv Mitah. It's Mitah B'deshamayim. So the Abishlama Shtuyayayin B'hedik Tidbohu. That we have an explicit Pasuk, which is on the page. And that is, again, the Pasuk said to Aharon, Pasuk number 4 on the page, which is the Pasuk said to Aharon after the death of Nadav Raviu, Yain v'shechar al-tesht, right? And because you won't die. So you see there's a chiyuv mitah. The Purei Rosh Minayin, how do I know that doing avodah with long hair, which, by the way, is not mentioned anywhere in the Torah, how do I know that that is a chiyuv mitah? And the next pasuk that I put together on pasuk number two, so you see that have letting their hair grow long and coming in drunk are put together. Just like doing avodah drunk is chiyuv mitah, as we see explicitly in Sefer Vayikra. So now we know that also if you do avodah b'priat rosh with your hair too long, there's a chiyuv mitah. Umina, so draw an inference from there. Imashtra yayin machali avodah, just like shtu yayin invalidate the avodah, afrei rosh machali avodah, so that, therefore, we should now again equate the two, and say that just like the avodah is invalidated if you did it drunk, the avodah is invalidated if you did it afrei rosh, and therefore we, Ravashi's answer to this distinction doesn't stand. So lo, ki ikush, the mita huri ikush, ava lachuli avoda lo ikush. The hekesh is a partial hekesh, which is a little bit of a problem, as the Rishonim point out. Ein hekesh l'chatzoin. Once you compare two things, the comparison is full. You don't say it's a comparison only for one component, which is chiyuv mita, but not for chilul avoda. So we're going to see the fix to this. Amar le ravina lavashi. Hamakamidati chezka manamra. He asked a question which is going to get us to the answer that we needed. Before Yechezkel came along with this pasuk about pera, so how did we know that long hair is even a problem at all, and certainly that it's a chiyuv misa? Amalei v'tameh, hadam avchista advarza mitorat Moshe lo lamadnu midivrei kabbalah lamadnu. This second, that next pasuk that we have from Yechezkel is also a very important principle, which is kol ben nechar arel leiv arel basar lo yevol mikdashi l'sharteni. That an arel is pasula avodah. How did we know that before Yechezkel came along and had it written down? Here's what happened. There was a tradition, and Yechezkel knew the tradition, and he put it into the pasuk. So in our case also, there was a tradition, an oral tradition about Purei Rosh. Yechezkel codified it into his book, And so therefore, ki gemiri halacha l'mita l'chul yavon lo gemiri. And that tradition was only about the chiyuv mita, not about chilul avodah. And therefore, now we have a solution to the hekesh l'chatzoin. Because the hekesh is not really the source. The source is really an oral tradition, and that oral tradition was simply that a kohen who has is parura barosho, that his hair is long, and he has gone 30 days without a haircut, is chayav mitah for doing avodah in that state. But not that he is mechalal the avodah. Yechezkel then associated the two to teach us the principle of chiyuv mitah. Good. The last Mishnah, not the last one, Mishnah Chet, deals with Megillat Tanit. And again, Megillat Tanit is that record of festive days that are either the result of military victories of the Chashmonaim or of religious victories of the Chachamim over the Tzdukim. And the first two items which we're going to see are of the latter type. Megillat Tanit lists days, some of which are delo lehitana b'hon, days you're not allowed to fast, and others delo lemisped, others you're not allowed to have eulogies. Now, the Mishnah said that any time that it says you're not allowed to have eulogies, the Tanakhama said you can't do it the day before either, but the day afterwards you may. Rabbi Yossi said both of them are prohibited. Anytime it says you may not fast, Tanakhama says you can fast the day before or after, which of course has big implications for Masechet Tanit. And Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion that you may fast the day after, but not the day before. Good. Tana Rabbana. Ilei yomaya delo lehit ana'a bahon, umitzaton delo lemisped bahon. So this is really the opening line of Megillat Tanit in one version. These are days which you are not allowed to fast on, and some of them that you may not have eulogies on. Now the first one listed is Mereish Yarcha Denisan Ad Manyabe, from the 1st until the 8th of Nisan. These are all festive days. Itokam Tamida, the Korban Tamid was established. What was the issue? There was a machloket between the Tzdukim and the Prushim about whether or not the Korban Tamid comes from private funds or public funds. And the Chachamim very strongly challenged the Tzduki position and were successful over the course of these 8 days in one particular year in getting their position solidified. So therefore, you're not allowed to have eulogies during those days. But remember the dates. That's what's critical here. 1st to the 8th of Nisan. Mitimanya Bey, the second item on the list in Megillat Tanit, Ad Sof Moada, meaning from the 8th of Nisan till the end of Pesach, he talked of Chagar Shvuah Delon Lemisped Bahon. The Chagar Shavuot was restored to its proper place, meaning Chagar Shavuot, which according to our Masorah, happens exactly 7 weeks after the second day of Pesach, and Pesach can happen on whatever day of the week it happens, based on the testimony of the new moon. The Tzdukim had a very different calendar, in which, at least some of the Tzdukim had a different calendar, in which all the days of the month were set by days of the week. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was always on a Wednesday, and therefore Korban Pesach was always on a Tuesday. Shavuot was 7 weeks after the Sunday after Pesach, and that would always, of course, be on a Sunday. And the battle over that, which is storied as the most famous machloket during Beit Sheni times and the famous Mishnah in Menachot, between the Beitusim or the Beitzin and the Prushim, was finally settled during this period 1 year from the 8th of Nisan till the end of Pesach, and so that is all a festive time. Good. Amar Mar, Mereish Yarcha de Nisan Tzman Yevei Tokam Tamid Adolo Lemisped, the first item. Lamali Mereish Yarcha, why does Megillat Tanit have to make Rosh Chodesh also a festive day? So Lema Mitrebe Nisan, after all, why don't you just start on the 2nd? Rosh Chodesh Gufa, Yom Tov Uvasar, after all, you're not allowed to fast or have eulogies on Rosh Chodesh. So there's no reason to make Rosh Chodesh Nisan into a festive day. It's already a festive day. Amar Rav, Lonitzuchal Lesor Yom Shalafanav. Aha, Rav says that the value of making Rosh Chodesh Nisan into a festive day is then the day before it is also, in the last day of Adar, is now prohibited in eulogies. Prohibited a day that you may not have eulogies because it's the day before a day mentioned in Megillat Tanit. And that, in our Mishnah, all positions agreed that you may not have eulogies on the day before. Now, wait a second. Why do you need Rosh Chodesh Nisan to be part of Megillat Tanit so the day before is Aser? It's also the day before Rosh Chodesh. The answer is Rosh Chodesh Doraita, who Doraita Mabaya Chizuk. Since Rosh Chodesh is Doraita, we don't have to give it support by making the day before prohibited. On the other hand, the days in Megillat Tanit are Drabanan, and they need more Chizuk, therefore we make the days before and perhaps even the days after prohibited. The days of Megillat Tanit have prohibitions before and afterwards. Shabbatot v'yamim tovim hein asurin lifnei v'lachareihen mutarim. But Shabbat and Yom Tov, and the things that are Doraita, days that are Doraita, are only prohibited on the day themselves, not before. Umay hafresh ben zeh lazeh, clearly the Braita says, halalu divrei Torah, divrei Torah tzrichin chizuk, halalu divrei sofrim, divrei sofrim tzrichin chizuk. Shabbat and Yom Tov are Doraita, they don't need any extra support, people already take them very seriously, unlike the days of Megillat Tanit, which are the Rabbanan, and therefore they need Chizuk. Amar Mar, Mitmanya be ad sof mo'ada yitot av chag reshvay. Now let's look at item number two. The Lon Misve, the restoration of Shavuot to its proper date, or day. Lamali ad sof mo'ad, why do I need all of Pesach to be considered as part of Megillat Tanit? After all, Lema adam mo'ad, why don't I just say from the 8th until Yontif, is Megillat Tanit. And then Yom Tov itself is also prohibited. Moed Gufa Yom Tov Huva Asa. Our Papa Kiramarav, Lonitzvacha El Asor Yom Shalafanav. Just as we answered with Rosh Chodesh, the value was making the day before Asa, which Rosh Chodesh itself would not do. Hachanami Lonitzvacha El Asor Yom Shalacharav. So here, why does the Megillat Tanit say that from the 8th until the end of Pesach is Asa, to make the day afterwards Asa? Aha. But because the day afterwards would not be Asa, as Pesach, as a result of Pesach alone, because Pesach is Doraita. But if we're going to say the day afterwards is Asur, that supports the position of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. Keman, Rabbi Yossi. The Amar, Bein Lefanav, Bein Lacharav, Asur. Rabbi Yossi says when it comes to the eulogy days, the days prohibited of making eulogies, that applies even to the day afterwards. So if that's the case, Ihachi, Basim, Tishan, Nami. My Yer Yadav, Yomad, Kami, Yomad, Vitokam, Tamida. So if Rabbi Yossi is the author of Megillat Tanit, or should we say it's his position that's being taken, that the value of prohibiting days that are anyways festive days is to also prohibit the day afterwards, like Rabbi Yossi, and if that's the case, go back to our first issue of Rosh Chodesh Nisan and say, after all, the 29th of Adar, which you said has now become prohibited because the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was already prohibited because it's the day after the 28th of Adar, which is the last item on the list of Megillat Tanit, the day that we saw referenced in the first parak, as the day in which, when we saw it referenced back in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, as the day in which it was a particular gzerah was lifted in the time of the Romans, as we'll see right now. The Tanya. Ashrim Tamanya Bey Ata Pesorta Tavta Liyudai, this is directly out of Megillat Tanit, Delo Li Idun Min Oraita. On the 28th of Adar came the good news that Jews can maintain the Torah. Shepam achad gazra machut arshah shvat al Yisrael. The Romans made a decree against Am Yisrael shalo yasku b'Torah, that they may not study Torah. This is in the 2nd century. V'shalo yamul et pneim, they cannot do brit milah, v'shichalu shavatot. So ma asan Yehuda ben Shamua v'chavirav, this particular Yehuda ben Shamua was a student of Remeir. What did he and his colleagues do? Hachub ratlu etzam matronita achad shekog dolei Roman mitzui nitzlah. They found a Roman matron who was friendly with the Roman leaders, and therefore she knew how to deal with them. Go out and protest at night. That's what she told them to do. They did that. Amru, Ishamayim, oh heavens. Lo achim anachnu, are we not brothers? Lo b'nei avichad anachnu, are we not children of the same father? Lo b'nei eim achat anachnu, children of the same mother. They're saying to the Romans, why have you singled us out for such terrible decrees? Uvidlum, and they canceled them. Oto Yom Asu Yom Tov, and they made that day, the 28th of Adar, into a Yom Tov. So, why do we need to state Rosh Chodesh Nisan as being a festive day? We said it was to make the day before that, meaning the 29th of Adar, also prohibited. But if the entire text runs like Rabbi Yossi, 29th of Adar is already prohibited because it's the day after the 28th of Adar. Rabbi says it's there to cover the case where Adar might be a 30-day month. In which case, the 1st of Nisan, all that we prohibited is the 30th of Adar, is the day before. And the 28th of Adar, in such a month, the 29th of Adar will be prohibited. Good. Rashi Amar, Figo Tema Chodesh Chaser, Rashi says, even in a normal month, it's 29 days, Kol Shela Achra B'Tanit Asur B'Aspeid Mutar. Any, the day afterward is never prohibited, there's never a prohibition of Hespeid. Zeh, Hoil Mutal Ben Shnei Yamim Tovim, but since this 29th of Adar has been two festive days of Megillat Tanit, Asuk Yom Tov Atzmo, they made it even more stringent because it's right in between two festive days, it becomes festive also. So that's the value of singling out all the way to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that it makes the day of the 29th of Adar, which is now sandwiched directly between two festive days, festive itself. Afeilu behesped nami asur, so they, in that case, they even prohibited eulogies. So now a third question about the dates. Again, on the first two items on the list. Remember, the first item was from 1st to the 8th of Nisan. We said, why do we need the 1st of Nisan? It's Rosh Chodesh. The answer is to prohibit the day before. And now we're reading Rabbi Yossi into the equation because the day before is now sandwiched between the 28th and the 1st. It becomes even more festive than it would normally be. Why did we need the second item about the restoration of Chag HaShavuot to be read all the way through Pesach? Was to prohibit the day afterwards. The day after Pesach, what we call Yisroel Chag. And now the question is about the 8th. The 8th is now the last day of one item and the first day of the second item. So it now is a little bit unnecessary. Why don't I start on the 9th? After all, the 8th is prohibited. Now we're not talking about days before or after. It itself is part of the 8-day festival of the restoration of the Korban Tamid. So, the answer is, let's say that something would happen and we would have to cancel that first festivity. The 8th would still be Asur, because it's now the first day of the second festivity. In other words, let's say something happened, for some reason, that the first festivity of the Korban Tamid was to be canceled, either because let's say that the Korban Tamid was to revert to back to the Tzduki position. Or for some other reason we weren't able to celebrate that festival. We would still start celebrating on the 8th of Nisan because it's part of the second system. Once you give that answer, you've solved everything. Which is, I now understand why I needed Rosh Chodesh Nisan to make the 29th of Nisan of Adar significant. Because if something would come along and cancel the 28th of Adar, the 29th of Adar would still be Asur, even though its antecedent day is gone, but its consequent day, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is still a significant day. Good. Now, how do we rule in this machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan about the days before and after? Itma, Rabbi Chiya Barasi and Rav Halachak Rabbi Yossi. So Rav is Machmir. And that means that when it comes to fasting, you're not allowed to fast the day before Megillat Tanit days. When it comes to eulogies, you're not allowed to have eulogies either the before or after. Shmuel Amar Lachak Rav Meir. Rav Meir meaning our Stam Mishnah, who says that eulogies are prohibited only the day before, and fasting is never prohibited except on the day itself. Umayamar Shmuel Hachi, since what did Shmuel say? That Vatani Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Umata Lomar Bahon Bahon. Why does Megillat Tanit, and here he uses Talmud Lomar as if he was analyzing a biblical text, but why does Megillat Tanit, you're not allowed to have fast Bahon, and you're not allowed to have eulogies Bahon in them? To tell you it's only the day themselves that's Asur, Ifrein Lachrein Mutarin. Rav Shpag discounted the entire notion of the days before or after having any sort of association, and therefore prohibition. And Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which means Shmuel took an even more lenient position than our Mishnah, meaning even when it came to eulogies, he would say the day before is permitted. So the answer is Mikara Sarah came to Lake Atana to make a Krav Meir. So Shmuel evidently held that whatever the most lenient position is, that's the one to adopt. So he originally thought that the most lenient position was our Mishnah, or Meir. And therefore he ruled like that. Amar Halach Rav Meir. Once he heard that Rabbi Shimon was Mekel even more, was even more lenient, then Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. V'chein Rabbi Bali, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Halacha kerb yosi, like Rav. Amar Rav Yechiya Labali, Aspar Alach, Ki Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha kerb yosi, Adalul Lehita. No, when did he pass like Rav Yosi? About fast, the days that you had a lot of fast on. And there he ruled like Rav Yosi that you also may not fast the day before. But not when it comes to the eulogies. Umiyam Rav Yochanan Hachim, Rav Yochanan Halacha Kestam Mishnah. Famous statement of Rav Yochanan, utilized all over Shas, that he rules like a Stam Mishnah. And our Stam Mishnah is like Reb Meir against Rav Yosi. And plus, we have another Mishnah, which is in Megillah. Even though we know that when it comes to Kriyat HaMegillah, and here it's probably the appropriate place to give a brief introduction, which we will expand on at the very beginning of Masechet Megillah in about a week and a half's time, is the very first Mishnah in Megillah details the special ruling that allows, under certain circumstances, or allowed under certain circumstances, for the Megillah to be read earlier than the 14th, as early possibly as the 11th of Adar, depending on how the week laid out and where you lived. And so even though the 14th and 15th of Adar are days in which you may not have fast or eulogies, nonetheless, if you read the Megillah early, those days don't take on the character of Purim. And therefore, mutarin besped v'tanit. That's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, in such a case where you read the Megillah early, those days are still days you may fast and may have eulogies. Now, Eimat, what's the case? Even b'nei chameisav v'kokar le'bi'a beisar. Are we talking about people who generally read the Megillah on the 15th? And for some reason they read it on the 14th. Like the 15th fell on Shabbat, and they read it on the 14th. Umishari. Like people in Yerushalayim, when Megillah, when Purim falls on, when Shushan Purim falls on the 15th, we read on the 14th. Umishari, since when are they allowed to have eulogies on the 14th? Vakti, Megillah Tanit, Yom Arba Sarbo, Vyom Chamisha Sarbo. Right? Yom Epurayinun. Dolol Mispeduyon. The 14th and the 15th. Vyama Rava, Lenitsuchal Asorat, Zozebezevet, Shozebezet. Rava said the whole point of describing it that way, of the 14th and the 15th of Adar, is to say that you're not allowed to have eulogies on the 14th, even in a city that celebrates Purim on the 15th, and vice versa. So nobody's allowed to have eulogies on the 14th in any case. It must be people who live in a city where you read on the 14th, like a normal town, an unwalled city, and they're reading it on the 13th for whatever reason that they're reading it early. The 14th fell on Shabbat, perhaps. So the answer is Yom Nikanorhu. We're going to see Yom Nikanor in a couple of minutes, but that is a day of Megillat Tanit, in which, in any case, you're not allowed to have a hesped. B'nei HaBeisin v'kokar lei b'treisar. Must be people who normally read on the 14th. They're reading on the 12th, and here the case would be where the 14th fell out on a Wednesday, so the villagers can read it as early as Monday, which is the 12th. So Yom Toryanasu. We'll see that that's another day of Megillat Tanit. So there's no days here where you could possibly have Hesped V'Tanit, and the Mishnah said that even though you read the Megillah early, the day you read it could still have Hesped V'Tanit. Well, what day is it that's available? Alright, so the answer is Alav, the Kakar Le B'Chadesar. That one possibility, which is when the 14th falls out on a Sunday, they read on Thursday, which is the 11th, and that day is not a special day. You're allowed to have Hesped V'Tanit. Uktani Mutab Hesped V'Tanit. And what does that prove to you? That proves that the day before a day of Megillat Tanit, you're allowed to have Hesped V'Tanit, which means, and Rabbi Yochanan, and that's a Stam Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan ruled like, said it was Halacha Kestam Mishnah, so Rabbi Yochanan could not have ruled like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi would not allow Hesped V'Tanit even on the 11th, because it's the day before Yom Turyanis. We'll see what that is. No, the answer is we're not reading the Mishnah correctly. It's B'nei Abbas, Avakar, Olei, B'Tzreitzar. It's people on the 14th, and they're reading it on the 12th. Kamat Yom Turyanasu, you say that the 12th is Yom Turyanus? Yom Turyanus Kufe Batule Batule. They already canceled that holiday. Why? Hoven Ergubo Shmaya Va'achia Achiv. Two famous brothers were killed on that day, assassinated on that day. We're going to read the story in a minute. And therefore, the festivity was canceled, and therefore the 12th is now a day that you could have Hesped V'Tanit. But now, wait a second, the 12th is the day before the 13th. Ki'adam Nachman, Gazar Tanita V'Tresar, Rav Nachman himself made a Tanit on the 12th of Adar. Not Tanit Esther, a Tanit because of some trouble. Amar Rabbanan Yom Turyanasu. The Rabbanan said, you can't make a fast day then. Which, by the way, proves to you that Megillat Tanit was still very active in the times of the Amoraim. Amar Lahu Yom Turyanas Kufay Betule Bat Luhu. The holiday has been canceled. Ho Avanergo Shmaya Vachi Achiv. But the 12th is the day before the 13th. And the 13th is Yom Nikanor, which they hadn't canceled. The answer is, Rashi, hashti iu gufe batluhu, shim Yom Nikanor nikum negzar. Rashi comes up with a very interesting solution. He says, look, originally the 12th may have been Asur as the day before Yom Nikanor. But then the 12th became itself a festive day because of Yom Turyanus. We'll find out right now what that is. And once they canceled that, they're not going to say that you still can't fast on that day because of the day before Yom Nikanor. It's a very tragic day because something terrible happened which causes us to cancel the holiday. So on the 12th, even though it's the day before Yom Nikanor, you could still fast. And therefore, the Mishnah that we're referring to that says that if you read Megillah early, you could still have eulogies and fasts on that day that you read is talking about if you read on the 12th. And the reason that's okay is because Yom Turyanus had already been canceled, evidently, by the time the Mishnah was compiled. And the reason that in spite of that, we may even rule like Rabbi Yossi. But in this case, we would say that even Rabbi Yossi would say, you may fast on the day on the 12th, because it's the day before the 13th. In spite of that, because the 12th itself was canceled because of a horrible tragedy, you may fast. So now let's find out what's behind these days. By the way, important to note that Yom Turyanos does not show up in any of the original versions of Megillat Tanit. And our sugya is really the only place where it shows up at all as a reference. My Nikanor Matuyanos. Tanya, let's find out. Nikanor Achad Mi Afrechei Yivanim Haya. He was one of the generals or governors of the Greeks. He lived in Egypt. He used to wave at Yerushalayim, but even evidently was in Alexandria. When will I capture this town? When the Chashmonaim won, so this goes back to the Maccabean Wars, they cut off his hands and his thumbs and his toes, his thumbs and his fingers and his toes, and they hung them on the gates of Yerushalayim. Amru peh shayam daber begava v'yadan shayim nifot al Yerushalayim teaseh behem nekama. So the mouth that spoke against Yerushalayim with such haughtiness, and the hands that used to wave. So this is our revenge. So it was a great victory over somebody who was threatening us. Contemporary comparisons are up to the listener. My Turyanus, what's Turyanus? Amru mishabikesh Turyanus la roget lulinas upapus. This is a famous story about these two young Jewish men. Shows up in the Yerushalmi and Tanit also. Achiv Balutkia. Amar lahem im me'amo shachanan mishal azariyatem. So he said to these two young boys, if you're from the same nation as Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, the three famous young men from Sefer Daniel, yavo lechem yatzil etchem miyadi. So let your God come and save you. G'derach sheitzil et Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah min duyan Nebuchadnezzar. Just like he saved, your God saved those three young men from Nebuchadnezzar. Amrula, so their comeback was quite witty and sharp. From Mishael, and Azariah, tzaddikim gorim hayu. They were great tzaddikim. Uriyin hayu le'asot ames. They were worthy of having a great miracle happen. Also, the king was a righteous king. He was an okay king, a proper king. It was appropriate to have a miracle happen in his context, in his palace. But you're a simpleton. We obviously deserve to die. And if you don't kill us, God has a lot of agents. He has bears and lions, they'll kill us, the only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed us over to you was so that he could eventually take vengeance from you for our blood. In this version, he kills them. In other versions in rabbinic literature, he doesn't kill them. Amru lo zazum sham ad shibau diyufle romi romi, that some sort of soldiers came from Rome, upatsut mochovi gizrin, and they busted his head open with big logs. That's the end of that story, and so Yom Turyanus, the day he was killed, was made into a very festive day, until later on that same day, two brothers were tragically killed, and then the day was, the festivities were canceled. The last Mishnah in our Perek said that we do not begin the fasts on a Thursday, etc. You don't make the fast to happen on Rosh Chodesh, but if they already started, then we don't interrupt. V'chamali hatchala. So how much is a begin, meaning how far into the fast they have to be to say when it hits Rosh Chodesh, we're too far into the series that we will not suspend it. Achamar shalosh, if there's already been three fasts. V'yasi amar chat, he says even one fast. The quote in our Mishnah that is that if the fasts fall on Rosh Chodesh, if they started, they don't suspend them, but we don't complete the fast. That's Rav Meir. Chachamim say you fast and you complete the fast, you have the whole fast. And that indeed is the halacha, that even if they've already begin the system, and there's now three fasts, and the next fast falls out on Rosh Chodesh, or Chanukah, Purim, you fast and you complete the fast. Tomorrow we will begin the third parak, Seder Ta'aniyot Elu. Meantime, Hadran Allah, Seder Ta'aniyot Kitzad, everyone should have a wonderful day.